On the front of our little handout this morning, we have a reminder of the whole thing of reconciliation that we've been talked to about for a long time. And the whole idea of the voice and the expression of that, which really just takes in, from our point of view in Australia, the whole Indigenous or First People or First Nation situation. I don't know what you think, but many of our experts, so-called experts, who are expressing this idea, the yes vote, the no vote, the whatever vote, and if you hear even some of our Indigenous or Aboriginal friends, what they're saying is, whatever the outcome, it's going to make two sort of sections in Australia. And even if you ask some of our First Nation leaders, what they are saying is, we think this, someone else will say, we think that. We agree with this, we agree. So it becomes almost an impossible task at one level. This is not a political comment. This is simply saying, we have been looking in May at the whole message of the gospel, which is a message of reconciliation. That's what we're on about, a message of reconciliation. And on the front of your little sheet today, we've got these, I'll just go back, quotes. For God was pleased, as Ian said, to have all of his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. We could take the cross from our communion table and take it across to the world, because in fact, it was God who came to us, although we were the ones who had walked away. So in terms of reconciliation, God comes to the world, a world that didn't care and in some ways we could say still doesn't care. So friends, we are people of reconciliation. That word, reconciliation, what does it mean? Well, it means, if we take the literal meaning of it, make friendly after estrangement, purify, heal, settle, harmonise. And we ask, why do we need reconciliation? Well, at a certain level, if we're talking Australia, there is the Cardia and the Appa, or the white and the black, and the upset there, and the need to bring something together. And whether we can ever do that, who knows? Whether that can ever happen, because the little bit that we've had to do with Central Australia and Indigenous First Nation people, there are so many groups of Aboriginal people and they don't always agree. So how on earth we can get all of Australia to agree, and what I've got there, theocracy, not democracy, we can all vote. But friends, will that bring reconciliation? No. Only God can bring about the reconciliation that is really, really needed. And so we need, I think, to re-grasp who we are on about as children of the living God. Why do we need it? Because there's been a separation. There's been a separation between us, colonialists or settlers or whoever we want to call ourselves, some people would say invaders, and the First Nation people. There was a broken relationship, and that was the upset. With God, it was sin. We just walked away and said, too bad, we'll do our own thing. And isn't that the heart of sin, just doing our own thing, walking away from God? So God walks back to us in Jesus, reconciling the world to himself. How incredible that is, reconciling the world to himself. So that's why today I'd like to have a good look. Well, a biblical look, a good look. We'll be looking all of our lives, won't we? But I'd like for us to have a look again at the Jesus in whom we believe, the one who brings the reconciliation. So let's have a look at who Jesus is. From that section of scripture that Ruth read to us from Colossians 1. Turn there if you're following. Who is Jesus? He is the full expression of God the Father. Now, sometimes when we sing songs and sing words, do we sort of comprehend God the Father dwelt in Jesus, and Jesus goes to heaven and then sends his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. So we have the Spirit of the living Christ in us. We probably could all go home now and just think about that for the rest of the day. The Spirit of the living God in us. It is almost incomprehensible, but it is true. But it is true. So, who is Jesus? The full expression of God the Father. He is the image of the invisible God. We can't see God. We believe, as it were, in an invisible God. But when we look at Jesus, then we see who God is. The coin, we've heard that before. The coin. We've heard the imprint, the family likeness. It's very hard to put into words who Jesus is when he expresses the Father. But Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've understood who I am, then you know who the Father is. So friends, it's very important for us to have a good look at who Jesus is. A good look at who Jesus is, because when we have a look at who Jesus is, the way he deals with life, then in fact we see how the Father deals with life, and that's the Father in whom we believe. So we need to have a good look at who he is. He is the perfect image of the invisible God. How amazing. The firstborn over all of creation. We are so small and finite, aren't we, when we think of God? Like, he is the one over all of creation. We're alive and we've seen creation. But not him. I mean, he was part of all of that. Just fantastic. And yet, he comes and brings us to himself. How wonderful that is. How wonderful that is. This is our Jesus. By him all things were created. In him, by him, through him, heaven and earth, thrones, powers, visible, invisible. Just let's be blown away by some of these things. This is the God who comes and says, I'm giving my life because I love you. This is our God, the creator of all things. He holds everything together. How amazing that is. It's like, he's not the spiritual glue, but in another way, yes. Like holding everything together until the ultimate comes. I've got down there, he is the principle of cohesion in the universe. He impresses upon creation a unity and a solidarity that makes a cosmos, not a chaos. Out of chaos came creation. How wonderful. And that's part of what Jesus did. Some of those quotes there, you can have a look when you go home and see what they're saying. But yeah, we're not talking about a bomb or a big bang. We're talking about a creator. All things now holding together and just waiting. Just waiting, the Bible says, on tiptoes. Creation is waiting with excitement on tiptoes for the end when all of this will be brought together. Who by? Well, not by Putin, not by China, but by Jesus. And that will all be brought together. How phenomenal. He's the head of the church. He's why we exist. And I know people get carried away with spiritual gifts, but if we have a close look at Ephesians, as is being studied by some of our groups, he is the one who ascended and then gave gifts. Gifts of Jesus, yes, spiritual gifts, but gifts from Jesus. Such is his love for us and his love for the church. He wants us to have him as the head and for us to work under that. All happy, using the gifts that God has given us. This is who our Jesus is. And he's the message we proclaim. That's why we need to grasp in our inner being, this is Jesus. No, we're not interested in other gods and bits and pieces. It's Jesus that we're interested in. And the sad thing is, friends, we don't always know him as well as we should. Or we don't always know what the word says about him as well as we should. So, he's the image of the invisible God. Have a look at Jesus and we see the Father. How wonderful. Creator? Yes. Holder together? Yes. Head of the church? The resurrection. He has gone before and is resurrected, and that's part of our belief. Why? Oh, because we've made it up. Someone thought it was a good story. No, because we see in Jesus a resurrection from the dead affirmed by hundreds of people, and we are now part of that. So he is our hope. This is why we have a great belief and a proclaim in him. He was supreme and he is the firstborn, or the first of the resurrected. All of the fullness of God dwelt. Whew. I mean, every section could have been a sermon. In fact, it probably could have been a year's sermon, each section. But now, where does that fullness dwell? Well, the Gnostics, or the people around at that time, the knowledgeable people, said, no, it all dwells in knowledge. That's where it dwells. That's where God dwells, in the sense of knowing about him. Friends, you know people who know about God, but they don't believe in him. Well, they know about him, but it's not a personal belief. So these Gnostics were the same. Knowledge. Friends, the fullness of God, by his Spirit, now dwells in us. In Jesus, and back down through the Spirit to us. And the full expression of Jesus dwells in our church. This church is an expression of the living Christ. So we need to be able to say to people in the community, if you want to know what Jesus is like, have a look at us. Except they say, oh, we've had a look. No, thank you. But in all seriousness, friends, this is where the fullness of God should be expressed. Here, we should express that. But people have been disappointed. And I think that's because people look at us sometimes, or they look at the church, and they don't look at Jesus. And that's why we are sometimes disappointed, because we look at other people. And people have left churches because they've looked at people and said, oh, I don't want to be like that. Look at that woman. Look at that man. Look what they did. Look how they talk to each other. And I understand that. But friends, I'm sad in my heart when people leave a church, yes, but I am much sadder when they leave God. Because we need always to be looking not at each other, although we need encouragement from each other, but we need to be looking to Jesus. And when we look at these qualities, would we turn our back? Would we turn away? Can we? One who has come from heaven to earth to bring us back to the Father? Oh, no. I mightn't be happy with the institution. It mightn't be perfect, but I'm part of it, and I'm not. But here's a guy, our God, who comes, human, God, and reunites us with the Father. How wonderful is that? How wonderful. But as we continue on, what has been done? Well, the reconciliation has been done. We who had walked away have now had Jesus walk to us. How wonderful is that? Things on earth, heaven, everything has been reconciled. There's that word, reconciliation, brought back. That's what Jesus has done. Why? Because we were ratbags. We were sinful. And let's get away from sinful, doing sinful things. Yes, we did that. But the heart of sin is walking away from God. And once we walk away from God, then we behave however we want. And that's sinful behaviour, because we've walked away from God. You know, what we say to people is, oh, look, give up this and give up that and come to church. God doesn't say that. God says, come to me first and then let us sort out some things. It's the same with people who say, oh, Colin, I just wish my son had married that girl he's living with. No, I don't care about that. Get them right with God first of all, and then sort out issues. Friends, we need to sort out our relationship with Jesus before we start sorting out our behaviour, because he's the only one who can change our behaviour by his Spirit. He's the only one who can change us as people, and that's what he's done. Now, we're no longer blamed, but we're blameless. We're no longer unholy, but we're now holy. We're now not enemies, but we're friends. Friends of the living God. Isn't that wonderful? We're not estranged. That is, separated. We're back together. This is what Jesus does. Our benefit is that he brings us back to God, back to our senses, back to our right mind, back to our right thinking, as Paul says. Think the things of God and how important that is. However, friends, all of this sounds lovely. Oh, God was in Christ coming to us. Oh, there's a proviso. And in the Bible, there are lots of provisos. There are lots of ifs. You know, lo, I am with you always, if you are out making disciples. Oh, well, if I'm not out making disciples, is God not with me? You need to think that one through sometimes. But here we are reminded, provided that. Now we are reconciled, provided in verse 23 that you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. So, are we no longer reconciled if we go off? Well, what is the benefit of all that God has done for people who don't care? And if all that God has done in Jesus is not met with faith, well, is it useless? Well, it's of no benefit to those people who don't care, is it? I mean, it still happened, yes, and there's still opportunity for people to come, yes. But if people say, I don't care, well, what's the use? So friends, this is what the Bible says. All of this is of great benefit. We're no longer strangers, we're now friends, we're no longer unholy, we're now holy, all the rest of it. Provided that, and this is very serious, that we continue in our faith, that we maintain establishment and firmness in Jesus, and we don't shift from that hope. We hang on tightly. Now that doesn't mean we don't have troubles, we don't have struggles, we don't have upsets, we don't have doubts. But it does mean that we hang on to Jesus very tightly. I've got there. We can know everything about Jesus, but not know Jesus. Who is Jesus for us? Well, for some people, cross around the neck. For some people, picture on the wall. But friends, for us, he needs to be our Lord and Saviour, the one we hang on to tightly in each situation. He is the Lord of heaven and earth, and that will not change. He is the Lord of the church, and hopefully our Lord, each one of us. This is Jesus, the reconciler between God and the world. Whatever the outcome of the voice is, and however that's all worked out, it won't change the reconciliation that comes to us in Jesus. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we could never have thought up this plan. We could never have worked out this idea. This whole situation is just phenomenal. And the fact that we had walked away from you just shows how ignorant we were of your eternal concern for us. And so as we come, we thank you that in Jesus Christ, you have come to us. Thank you that Jesus could say, you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Father, may we continue to look at Jesus and see who you are. And may we, by your Spirit, continue to be enlightened. For we ask these things through Jesus. Amen.